You know, luckily our guys felt strongly about Jamie Benn and didn't get him till the fifth round, but boy, did we get a player.
He still doesn't look like he's totally positive of what he's capable of in terms of, we were joking that he's learning his own power, because, I mean, he's a guy you don't screw around with out there. He can stick up for himself, yeah. But then he's got these high, I mean, of the five most beautiful goals scored by the Stars this season, he may have scored three of them already. I mean, he's got some absolute brilliant ones, including Sunday night in Minnesota.
Yeah, and I think that's, you hit it right on the head. The upside potential in this kid is phenomenal, and he doesn't realize how good he can be. And there's going to be a lot of work involved with that, because he's not going unnoticed anymore. The league knows about Jamie Benn, and he gets attention put on him. And I think it was a real good experience for him last year playing with the American League team, going through that long playoff run that they went to, because he was a marked man down there and a guy that people paid attention to. So I think it's only helped him going forward.
This is Joe Nieuwendyk in studio with us. We'll do another big segment and get into the meaty present-day Stars topics. But I did, since we are talking draft, and since I get the benefit of being the chief second-guessing media, I did want to ask you about these last two drafts, your drafts as Stars general manager. As you know, most people point to your blue line as a position that could use some solidifying. And in the first round, you guys went forward in 09, and then we saw the next couple picks ended up, some of them ended up being defensemen who just played in the World Juniors for Canada, and Cowan and Ellis, who were snapped up in the next couple of picks. And then this year was the Jack Campbell, Cam Fowler decision.
Right.
So you got three guys who are thought of as some of the most brilliant defenseman prospects in the NHL right now. We never know how that will turn out. In fact, we should have this conversation in like 5 years. Mm. But you guys liked Scott Glennie more and you liked Jack Campbell more. Can you just talk us through were you sitting there on draft day with those two names, or was there a reason you went the way you did and you still feel as comfortable as can be with it?
Well, I do feel comfortable, and like we talked about before, amateur scouting is the toughest job in the organization. And you're right, the Cam Fowler was sitting there, and in the case of Jack, but I think the one comment that I really support is that, you know, a goaltender can make an entire team better. There aren't too many cases where one defenseman makes an entire team better. And I think that's a strong comment, because we're seeing that again this year.
Yes, we are.
With our goaltending. They're making our team better. They, as much as people wanted to pick on our defense last year, I'm not hearing those same comments, because our D is pretty solid when we get good backing behind them. So I support the pick, and from my position, Bob, I have to have a lot of trust in our amateur scouts, and I fully trust them. They've done some good things over here over the years. You know, you talk about the late picks, the fifth round picks with Tom Wandell, Jamie Benn.
Yeah.
And so they've done a tremendous job, in my opinion, for a team that's, three or four years ago that was always, near the top of the league as far as regular season statistics, point totals. So you're not picking near the front of the draft all the time. And they've been able to kind of we've been able to kind of rebuild on the go and still maintain a real solid team, in my opinion.
When you do, and I guess I'm unclear if you were saying it's either Campbell or Fowler. If you said that, forgive me. But when you don't pick one guy, don't you kind of like him to go out east or somewhere so you don't have to watch him in your division for the next 10 years?
Well, I think the key is exactly what you said. The timeline is not in the first 3 years. It's the 5 to 12 year period that you look at, and time will tell. I do know that we've got a solid prospect in Jack Campbell.
Absolutely.
He was phenomenal at the World Junior Tournament, and he's a really good young kid, and so I feel real comfortable with our goaltending situation all throughout our organization now. Whereas maybe, a year ago at this time, it was on shaky ground, to say the least.
All right, Joe Nieuwendyk, GM of the Stars. We'll give him a chance to dig into that Maple Deli tuna sandwich and come back in a couple of moments. It's Joe Nieuwendyk. It's 1:52. This is the Bob and Dan radio program with the Bob and Dan, Donovan. Gribbs, who is very happy to be talking to Rob Shickley about all things Aggie.
You don't think they brought up National Signing Day, do you?
Grooves and Seabass in studio. Joe Neuwendijk of your Dallas Stars. Let me ask you what you asked Bob off the air previously was, you must like this weather, huh?
I do.
Really?
I do. I don't mind it a little cold. I like a little snow here and there, and we've had a little bit of that lately, so.
Because I'm from the north, too, and I think Bob is with me. I don't really like the cold. It was good to leave it. And
when your grandparents would come to visit you, for me in Wisconsin, the grandparents would come up from Florida, and they would complain about how cold it is, and then they would also tell you that their blood was thinning, and you just thought, well, that means you're old. And it may be true, but you do come down here for, it doesn't take long, and suddenly you've turned into the biggest wimp in the world when it comes to winter.
Yeah, like this is brutal.
Yeah. I don't like this at all.
Well, this feels like hockey weather, though.
Yeah, no, that's true.
That's good for us.
That's true. So sometimes flip-flops and cargo shorts aren't conducive to hockey.
The off-season moves that you made were real tough, but boy, really, I guess this is what you expected, right? That, I mean, this the team atmosphere has changed, I suppose, and those players that you let go haven't gone on to just kill the league, you know. I don't know. It was a very difficult thing that you had to do, but I guess congratulations. Do you feel vindicated somewhat?
Well, I don't think so, Dan. I mean, it to this day, it's a hard thing for me. I mean, you know, I like those guys as friends, and hopefully at some point we can talk about this in a easier light. But, you know, I know we talked about this issue when I was in here at the beginning of the season, and it was difficult for me then. It's difficult for me today. But I really believe in my heart what you have to do in order to be successful. And the one thing you touched on is we had to get a group of guys that really cared about each other and pushed each other hard and changing the culture, like you mentioned. And I think that's been the biggest accomplishment for me, is that we've been able to do that, and you see some results.
And as far as your imprint then on the team, what you wanted the team to be, I would think that adding Langenbrunner just solidifies that even more.
Yeah, it really does. And we were very fortunate to be able to do that on a number of levels. You know, the support of the lenders, but it really enhances our hockey club. I think, you know, we've obviously surprised some people. I think maybe that we've maybe even surprised ourselves to a certain extent, but there's a real belief in that locker room that we can accomplish some things, and I think our play indicates that. And by adding a guy like Jamie Langenbrunner, who I said over the many times in my career, if I was going to go to war, I would want Jamie Langenbrunner to be on that team. And for us to get him back really helps us out a lot.
When you say that the lenders, like, I was under the impression when you were here early in the season that, boy, you're right up against it. You have received your orders for how big how much salary you could spend this year, and you are doing that. So now that you can just add without subtracting at all was surprising to me. Is that what is that process like? Do you have to set up a meeting, or do you have to beg? How does that work?
A lot of emails, a lot of pleading your case, trying to make them understand why this helps us, not only in the market, but our team. And you know, Tony Tavares, who is on board, and I don't think it's 100% official that he's on board, but he's been a big help in this process too, because he reports to the lenders. And
what is he? He's the Stars, or at least I was reading he was going to be the president.
Yes.
Just overseeing this transition,
yes.
Hopefully from lenders to actual human that owns the team.
Yes.
Okay. So he is but not officially, but...
Not officially, but...
But he does it.
Technically, yeah.
Okay. And so you kind of talk with him,
yep.
And then he takes your message?
Yeah. Well, we knew Jamie was going to be available. I had spoken with Lou Lamoriello on several occasions, and, you know, and for me personally, and from our team standpoint, we had to look at that real seriously. And so I indicated to Tony that this would really make sense for our hockey club. It would, like you said, solidify our forward grouping, and and would really add to our team, a team that's already going pretty well. And so he was on board with it, and we presented to the lenders, and you know, it was a challenge, but they supported it as well in the end. And I think they are respectful of what we've been trying to do out here, and they know that this team being sold down the road is the person coming in wants to see a good team as well, and so they supported it.
How far down the road are we? Do we have any clarity on that at all still? I mean, because I'll tell you, the hockey team is doing great. I love that. The arena is not near what we'd like it to be, and I do wonder how much of that is people kind of saying, let's see what happens with that sale before we give our hearts back to this franchise. And, you know, that's a realistic stance that many of them have, and I'm just curious what you see about that road ending.
Well, I don't know when the time frame is. I think things are progressing. I don't know who's all involved in that, Bob, to be honest with you. And as far as the fans, you know, I really can't control that other than trying to do what's right with our hockey club. And I think we've done our part in that. We play hard. I think we're an exciting team to watch. And I think the fans that have been out have been really impressed with what they're seeing on the ice for the most part. And so I think we just have to continue to make decisions that we feel are right for the hockey club going forward. And so we're pleased about that.
Is there someone they're talking to right now? Do you know? Like, is there bidders?
I'm not privy to everything that's talked about behind closed doors. I know we've entertained five or six groups over the course of the season, and you know, I was led to
believe walking them around type entertained.
Yeah, sitting in a not as nice a boardroom as this, but no. having those discussions. So there are people that are still
kicking the tires,
and so I don't know you know, exactly all of it that's going on.
You know, Dan asked you moments ago about the changes and whether you feel like you know, vindicated, or if it worked, or whatever that was. I almost look at that from an entire team standpoint of it's been a really, really nice start. The Stars are 10 points clear in the playoffs for now, and do you guard against, with your coaches, with the players? I don't know if you address a team, but obviously you can get a message to them that, hey, before we do these high fives, we got a ways to go.
The mission accomplished banner.
The mission is the playoffs, not to be in a great spot on January 13th.
Yeah. No, there's no question about it. We look at those standings every day, and the Western Conference still really hasn't changed. It's tight, and you have to be ready every night. And we're not reading our press clippings. We're pleased with the way we're going, but we know there's a lot of work to do. But I think there's a solid belief in this team that if we do stumble, we'll be able to right the ship.
It's a really remarkable characteristic. I hate to keep going back to what we were talking about the other night, Dan, but just the ability of this team to shake out of bad spells. And the one that comes to mind, of course, is you did have a full barn for Detroit and for Vancouver on New Year's Eve week. Vancouver was New Year's Eve, and you played well, but, and this is going to sound contradictory, you played well but lost by like 11-4 cumulative total to those two really good teams. But you snapped right out of it, went on the road, and went on a nice winning tear, and I really like that about this team as opposed to previous years where a losing streak just spins out of control, and before long, more bad things happen.
Yeah, those two games in particular that you're talking about, it, a lot of energy in the building, and it's unfortunate that we didn't come out on the right end, but I think it just told our guys that we're not quite where we need to be yet. We know we could compete with the best teams in the league, but those two teams that we played are the two best teams in the league. So, and I thought we played extremely well against Vancouver, even in a 4-1 loss.
Yeah.
It was one of our better games of the year, in my opinion. But our guys, you know, they were upset, and so they should be. So it just makes us eager to keep pushing this thing forward.
Joe Nieuwendyk in studio with us here on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. Okay, another something that's looming, I suppose, and that it all ties in with lenders and ownership and all that kind of stuff. But Brad Richards, his contract is up, and I guess the options are re-sign him to long-term deal. That would be a great option, I think. And I'm sure you might agree with that. Trade him before the trade deadline so you don't lose him for nothing. What What are the thoughts right now with Brad Ritt? And does he want to re-sign here without a solid ownership here? I'm not sure he wants to play here. What do you know?
Well,
or what are you willing to tell us?
Well, I think he is. I know Brad likes it here and would prefer to stay here, and we would prefer him to stay here. So all those scenarios are in play, and we realize that there's a trade deadline coming up. We're trying to do our best, although it's rather impossible to keep this thing under wraps. But my goal through all of this is to try and protect this from our team. I don't want it to become a distraction that, because we've done so many good things this year, we want to keep that thing going. And so we're going to try and respectfully be as private as we can about this. But I've said from the very get-go that my intention is to do what we can to sign Brad Richards, and that has not changed since day one.
Well, that's interesting. You say you try not to make it the topic in the room, but then you send this team up to Canada or wherever to a hot hockey media market, and
that's the number one story.
Before long, that's all they want to talk about, and that's not going to get better. You got two Canada trips before the deadline, and we know how that's going to go.
Yeah, there's no question about it. Going through Toronto and Ottawa, it was I think it was difficult to maintain focus in that regard. But Brad and I have talked all season long. I think we both understand where each other is right now, and we'll work through it. And Brad's a real professional. Not only is he a great player, but he's a good pro, and he understands that our team is first, and he hasn't let any of that creep in with the players.
You say in your conversations, I kind of think there are like the Joe Thornton extension, for instance. There are contracts out there that would, I think, be easy to base them on. Is he holding out to see where the ownership thing going? I mean, obviously you can only tell so much, but I'm curious, is this a holdup, not really about money, but about franchise direction?
I think all these elements are part of the overall process. And again, this process will be ongoing, and, trying not to get too much into it, Bob, I guess.
Yeah.
My best answer.
We're both playing our roles.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Dan mentioned two choices. There's also a third one. And you said extend him or trade him. The third is let it ride and get what you can out of 91 through the playoffs. And that buys you 3 or 4 more months on the ownership front. And try and risk losing him for nothing on July 1st, but at least squeeze the end of the season and whatever of the summer you can to then come to terms with him. That's a very real option as well.
Yeah, it is for sure. And again, I'll just say that since day one, my number one preference would be to have Brad Richards in a Dallas Stars uniform for years going forward. And I believe he is a big part of our team and would be a big part of our core going forward.
I wonder if the fans realize, I don't think you would dispute this, he's clearly the number one target as we head towards the deadline. So if you did have to shop him, I would imagine you could do quite well for the franchise, because I'm not even sure who's in second. When you watch the NHL Network, he's coveted, and everybody up there knows contract status situations. He's a heck of a player.
Well, he is, and he's put himself in a position to be the number one prize at free agency, and it's credit to him. But on the other side of it, I really believe that he likes it here. I think he likes the direction we're going, and he's very comfortable on this team. He's got a great relationship with the two kids that he plays with. And, so as good as Brad Richards is for the Dallas Stars, the Dallas Stars have been good for Brad Richards too.
Let's see. I want to ask you a little something, I guess, that relates to 24/7. This is Joe Newendike in studio, which obviously that, cool HBO series, right?
Yeah.
Which you were locked into. Or it seems like all hockey guys were locked into it. Let's not ask about Ovechkin living with his mom. Just looking at my notes here.
Did that whole thing make you uncomfortable? Just the whole premise of, it sounds like the NHL
had behind the scenes.
NHL had no veto power. I think that's quite clear seeing the product.
Well, anytime we can get on HBO, I think is a good thing. So
we love it.
We have to do what we can. I'll be honest with you. I saw bits and pieces of it. I'd like to see it in its entirety, but I was amazed really at how the access that they did have. And so it was quite I thought it was good TV, good fast.
We're used to players being mic'd up, but we're also used to them not saying anything when they're mic'd up because everything that's good gets edited
out.
It's
the biggest waste on any broadcast, isn't it?
Well,
to hear somebody yelling, hey, go get them.
Yeah.
Okay. Go get them, boys. Come on, stay after them.
Well, I was excited to let my 8-year-old son, who's a huge hockey fan, watch this stuff. But then the bits and pieces I saw, I think I needed the edited version. So
They did make available.
Yes,
with lots of beeps.
They did.
Son, those are just beeps.
I guess I can't remember if it was Pittsburgh or Washington, maybe hiccups. Both. But like it looked like the coach and GM were meeting after every game. And then they'd sit there breaking down each player and give him a grade 1 through 4 or 5. It just seemed like some ultimate micromanaging, yet maybe it's considered necessary. Do you do something similar?
Well, I think our coaches live more day to day than I do. I think it's important that I don't get involved in that because you can drive yourself nuts going on the roller coaster. Unfortunately, they have to live that way. And they do grade players, and I think across the board, teams most generally do that, at least the teams I've been associated with. But I go down there after games and we discuss things, but I don't think we get into the hot stoving as much as maybe we've seen on that telecast.
Okay, and that's where I wanted to go, too. As a former player, and, you know, we've known some players and stuff that might roll their eyes a bit when the GM is really in a huff after a loss, and you're like, look, gosh, there's 82 of these games. You can't get this high or this low after loss or win. And I wondered how you are. Are you like that, locked into a game and just putting your hand through the wall if something bad happens? Or maybe as a player, did you say, just like I think as a child, you might think, I'm going to do this differently when I grow up and I have a kid. I'm not going to act like this. Maybe as a player, you'd be like, this is a waste of time. Are there things like that that you can remember as a player? I didn't like this, so I'm going to make sure I'm not like this as a GM?
In some ways, I would consider myself a little more reserved. I have to tell you, like when you're a player, you can leave the rink, whether it's after a win, a loss, however you're feeling, and you can kind of tune it out. When you go home, you can throw on a sitcom, whatever. Yeah. You do feel this more intensely from my perspective now. That's one thing I definitely know. And
Now you understand them a little more.
I do understand them a little more. I wouldn't say that I'm as pick up the chair, throw it against the wall type of guy. I mean, I think our team plays hard and they do their best, and that's all you can do. I don't see the purpose in it, although I do know it exists in many cases.
It is that ultimate, though, in... We don't like to talk about this sometimes in sports, but there are different sets of agendas between team and player. The player understands that he may have to switch teams along the way, and victories, while important, are not necessarily always important to his personal future as his individual performance. And there's that intersection where you mentioned, as management, as a guy who's responsible for the performance of the team, the wins and losses may affect you more than they did when you were Joe Nieuwendyk, the player, right?
Yes, no question.
Because sometimes you lose a game as a player, and you're like, well, I kind of did my part tonight. Not that, that might be a sorry way to say it, but we all understand.
Yeah.
It's just different.
Yeah, it is. It is. And that's the one thing I was amazed at, too, is getting in a room at the GM's meetings with those guys, how competitive they are. They are so intense and so competitive. And it was kind of cool for me to see that because... It's one thing to be a player and be competitive against your opponent, but these guys, you can tell there's mind games, there's secrecy, there's whispering, and they live and die with the wins and losses.
Do you think it's good, bad, or indifferent for all of us to have access into the room like the HBO thing? Like, would that make you would that give you great pause to have the crews on your organization and in your meetings and bugging your phone and all that?
No, I don't think it. I don't think it's a bad thing. I know you guys are going to join us on a flight here to Western Canada.
You guys have been very accessible.
So I think it's good for the fans to see that. I know a lot of people enjoyed the HBO special, and it just gives the fans a different perspective of exactly what is going on down there.
I think it's phenomenal for the league. I really do.
And finally, have you ever seen or heard of anything like the Skrastins-Niskanen mix-up that happened? In fact, what did exactly happen? It was between periods, right?
It was between periods, and usually the guys come back on the ice and they do one quick hard lap to psych themselves up or get their legs going again, which really they're not really supposed to do. You know, they filter around the bench, but usually the starting lineup comes out to get ready for the period. Well, Scratch went one way skating backwards. Niskanen went the other way, getting his legs going forward. I don't know if he was looking at his skates, but they bang. And it was a bit of a train wreck. We haven't been able to find the video on it, but we haven't had either player play since.
And that was
now. How many games ago? A couple weeks or so?
Talking 10 days or so,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we're talking 10 days ago.
Wow.
I mean, they get hit so many times in games, and they bounce up and they play. So this has felled them for the last 2 weeks. They haven't played since. This is incredible.
And isn't this
and
an
as a
example?
GM who's trying to fill out, you know.
This is a disconnect. We're talking about how we kind of have a tough time telling the story without kind of giggling. A few players have. Now the GM.
This
probably,
is a horror.
Probably doesn't find the comedy in it.
I didn't find the comedy in it. And I wasn't even at the game. I was watching Jack Campbell in Buffalo that night and realized that we were down to four, but I thought they both got hurt during the game. But then when you find out the story and you just... Yeah, I mean, Carlos Skraskins leads the league in block shots most years and never misses a game. And then for this to happen, it's, you know, he thought he was back in Latvia after this hit.
Yeah.
So,
what were the injuries?
Concussion for Skraskins, who is probably, he's now cleared to play. He'll play Saturday night against Atlanta. But Niskanen banged his face off the glass, chipped a tooth. He's got a laceration down the palm of his hand that is just nasty, and that's probably slowing the his progress up more than anything. Can't hang on to a stick right now.
But to the credit, wow, that's crazy. Can't even hold a stick right now? Wow. But to the credit of you guys, that wasn't a footnote in a losing streak that spun out of control and the birds' heads were falling off and everything that goes wrong in a season. To the credit of the team, they went and won that game and have continued to play very good hockey since then. That's quite admirable.
Well, that was quite an effort by those guys in the third period there with 4D and against a Hawk team that's healthy now, and we play their entire team. So, yeah, and it's just continued. And the luxury is we got some depth games from our young kid, Philip Larson, who looks like he's on the right track. So those are all, in hindsight, it's been positive to see some of that happen.
First place Dallas Stars in the Pacific Division, 10 points clear in the playoff run, 44 games down. That means, what do we got, 38 to go. So, nice job. Keep pedaling, right?
Keep pedaling.
Joe, thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
All right, see you at the rink. The great Joe Neuendijk in our studio. It is 2:14 on the ticket.